about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Take your seats. Take your seats. No more dilly-dallying. Sit down. Sit down. Is everyone accounted for?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Jesus Christ. You having your red dot special? Communists in your funhouse? Crimson Tide?
Okay, perfect. By all means. Attribute my legitimate feelings of sadness to Menzies. You really just say Menzies.
That's gross.
You're gross.
Great comeback.
I want to whip his behind. That's what I want to do right now. If I thought they wouldn't take me to jail, I'd whip his behind right now.
When you get up close, she's very homely.
Well, that is a sucker punch to the gonads.
And now, for those of you just joining us, we are all going to die. Our feature presentation.
I think that's our consistent message.
Yes.
Thanks, Wolf Blitzer.
Whip people into a needless frenzy. It is 5:34. Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 11th of March.
Speaking of we're all going to die, are we being invaded by ants? What's going on in the building?
Well, here's what happened. I walked in and I saw Jay, the guy who takes care of the building here, and he was...
He's a homeless guy.
Not homeless. Surfer, not homeless.
Surfer, yeah. Oh.
That's a very thin distinction, by the way.
He was mopping the wall, and I was like, why are you using a mop on the wall?
Right.
And he said somebody left some food out, and ants were just covering the wall.
Gross.
So he had to spray the whole wall down with ant spray, and then now he's mopping the ant spray up off of the wall.
And when you walk in, it's got this sickly sweet perfume smell all through the building.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah.
But it's really ant spray that
ant
we're
spray,
inhaling.
Yeah, yeah, yes. It's good. I think it's all going well.
Well, look, there are a lot of ways that that people will be eliminated from the earth. And one of them is the attack of the insects. There are a lot more insects than there are people. And when they mobilize, look out. I mean, you think you can run from ants. Not if there are billions of them. They'll
we're
get you.
We're all going to die tonight.
Exactly. And I tell you that to tell you this, and Lisa, you probably saw this because it involved a traffic accident in La Cañada. This is a 51-year-old woman and a teenage girl yesterday. They got involved in an accident. Doesn't say exactly what happened, but the 51-year-old's car hit a tree as a result of the accident. Mm. That tree had bees.
Oh, no.
Both people who were outside of their cars exchanging their information attacked. Both people were attacked by the bees. The 51-year-old woman was stung over 1,000 times.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, she jumped into a nearby resident's pool to escape the swarm, but she was reportedly stung 1,000 times. The 17-year-old girl was stung over 100 times. A police officer on the scene said, I got out of my patrol car, got the fire extinguisher. We were just trying to hose everybody down that was getting stung. I've been in a patrol for 14 years. I've never experienced anything like it. Both women taken to USC Verdugo Hills Hospital are expected to make a full recovery. They had a beekeeper who came in to take the hive out and make the area a little bit safer. Tim Porter said, bees are very smart. They're also very well organized. When they sting, they release a pheromone, like a smell, that tells other bees to come in and sting that same individual. So each bee is not just individually making up in their own mind that they're going to sting you. I mean, they pretty much get instructions from headquarters to go for it.
Where's headquarters?
it's whoever's running things in the bee world. I don't know. So that's a life or death situation. I mean, can you imagine what it's like to wake up in the hospital after being stung 1,000? Look, we all know what a bee sting feels like. A bee sting hurts like ass, right?
It does.
1,000 of them.
What does she look like? She's got to be blown up like a balloon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no bueno.
I would think you might die from that.
If you were allergic to it, you easily could.
Oh,
I would
that's
think.
True.
I was stung by 18 yellow jackets.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Those, yeah, it was the same type of thing where we were doing maintenance on a tree and there was a hive that we didn't see. And
Oh my God.
They get mad. They just start diving for you and they really mean business.
And they don't die after they sting, right? They can sting you over and over?
I don't know.
Unlike bees.
I don't know. I just know
bees
sacrifice
their life.
It's funny because this we talk about perspective. We talk about how things change in an instant. They're standing there exchanging information, probably both pretty grumpy, probably kind of mad at each other. I don't know what the circumstances were of the accident, but they're sure. thinking, this is a crappy day. I can't believe I'm in an accident. I can't believe this happened. I'm upset. 1 minute later, they don't care at all about that accident. That accident is the furthest thing from their mind. They're looking for some way to survive being stung by bees. So anyway, there you go. Good times.
Good times indeed. Thank all you. Right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
This is the worst.
We have to tell you about Beer Mug and when he's drunk. I don't think I've ever met anyone like him before when he drinks. You know, some people are angry. Some people are funnier. Mm-hmm. I think Ralph is funnier.
Some people are sad.
Some people are sad, right? And that's ugly when people get, any time they drink, they,
yes. Those are the best.
I hate my life.
Remember our old friend Tad? Remember how sad yeah. he used to get
that's
when he drank?
That's who I was thinking of.
Yep.
Yes, sad drunk.
So we'll tell you about that. We have President Obama on Between Two Ferns.
Come on with the come on.
I had no idea this existed.
For real?
When did they post it?
They kept it under wraps just this morning. They kept it under wraps. It was not announced ahead of time. It just showed up on Funny or Die, and it's great. You would think that Zach would pull back a little bit.
That's Zach Galifianakis, right. And yeah, you would think he's the president. You sort of have to use kid gloves.
Yes, exactly. No. And the president gives it right back to him. I mean, they must have written stuff for the president because there's no way he came back like this. There's Love no it. Way he was making as much fun as Zach as he was. You Love know what it. I mean? It's great.
Petros Papadakis will be here talking about the Bachelor report. Still upset at us from last week, Bean, because we replaced him with Chris Harrison.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I would think that P would understand that if nope. you have the chance to have the host of The Bachelor on, you do that as your report.
I would like you to ask him that because that is not that was not his response, it turns out.
All right.
He's very upset. Comedian Taylor Williamson will be here. Remember him from America's Got Talent?
Absolutely.
And he is part of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014.
Yeah.
Great. Now no one else is going to get any ladies that night.
We also have some live music from Foster the People.
Come on.
Very excited about that. Always always excited when we come in on a day with live music.
Yeah.
Those guys are great, too, by the way.
They are. So that's coming up today. We end your Coachella tickets as well at 9 o'clock. Don't forget that. All 3-day passes. We're doing it between now and Coachella, which is not that far away. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, it's TV's Ralph Garman. How was that midnight?
Pretty good since I won the internet.
Wait, you so get the whole internet?
Yes. You own it for a day now?
I win the internet until tonight. Until someone else wins the internet.
That's pretty cool.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. Screw around.
Make some Take off porn. Some passwords, could you?
Make some more porn. There's not porn on the internet, I don't think.
That's true.
Add a little bit. Just
so what's it like? Out. Ralph was a contestant along with his friends Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith. He was on the Nerdist show, the Chris Hardwick at midnight show on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. What's it like being a contestant on that show? Is it pressure filled?
No, it's a blast. It is. It's zero pressure. It's all about laughs and having a good time and making jokes. And you just, especially me, because I got to do it with three of my buddies. I've known Hardwick forever. I've known Kevin's been one of my best friends now for, you know,
Thank
five
you.
Or 6 years.
Thanks
no,
very
no,
much.
Kevin Smith.
Oh.
And Muse, I also love Muse. So it was just hanging out with your buddies, cracking wise. It just could not have been a better time. So
congratulations on winning.
There was a tremendous audience in the studio, and they couldn't have been kinder, and it was just a blast.
When you get the internet, do you get a ring or a necklace or a crown? What do you get anything else with it?
Yeah, all those things.
Okay.
A scepter.
Sash.
You get the internet scepter.
A scepter, yes.
It comes with a butt plug, which I didn't expect. But look, when you're on the internet, not everything's going to be comfortable.
That's
what are you going to do?
That's
so,
true.
I get the internet for until tonight at 11:59 and 50 seconds.
Well, enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Please enjoy my internet, please. I would like you all to peruse.
That's nice.
While you're here. Speaking of the internet, couldn't be prouder and more pleased, first of all, that I won the internet. That's a big deal.
Sure.
But today is like the second best day of my life after winning the internet because DC Comics has finally announced that it is true. I am writing a comic book for DC Comics.
Yay!
News broke this morning in USA Today. It is the 1966 Batman comic book, and I get to reunite him with the Green Hornet and Kato.
No kidding.
It's going to be a 12-part digital comic book beginning on May the 21st, and then the print version will debut in comic shops on June the 4th as part of a 6-comic book series. So
that's a dream for little Ralph Garman.
It is like the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Yeah. I'm afraid to go to my doctors because I'm afraid they're going to tell me something that they told DC Comics.
Oh, you're dying. There's no question this is the end.
Told me yet. But Kevin Smith and I put the story together, and I knocked it out. And we've got an amazing artist named Ty Templeton who's doing all the art. And it's going to be it'll be available to you come May 21st. And
awesome.
It's just so amazing to be writing dialogue for those characters. To have Adam West's voice in my head and be able to make him say things is really a dream come true.
So you're going to go down at one point to a comic book store.
Yes.
And buy a Batman comic that you would have been buying anyway, by the way.
Yes.
But that you wrote.
Yes, written by me.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
That's awesome.
It is kind of a dream come true stuff. So I want to thank the nice people at DC Comics who are letting me
Make a wish.
Yes. Live out my fantasies. Speaking of fantasies, I don't have any about Lindsay Lohan anymore.
Really?
You're over her?
Lohan! My penis held on for so long for Lindsay. It really did. It stayed by her side through the rehab, through the passing out in SUVs outside clubs, through
the bloat.
The bloat, the career self-destruction.
What ended it?
This latest story from the National Enquirer. Lindsay is still clean, still sober, but sadly, apparently is a little stinky.
Stinky?
National Enquirer reports that Lindsay has suffered from a severe case of athlete's foot for years, and her foot odor is horrible.
Oh, no.
Not to mention embarrassing. Apparently, she had to refuse to attend dinner at a Hollywood party in a traditional Japanese restaurant because everyone had to remove their shoes. And she refused to remove her shoes because apparently, according to sources close to Lindsay, she hasn't got a handle on that athlete's foot, and the odor is embarrassing.
Hmm. Wow.
Disturbing.
Would not have expected that.
Disturbing.
That's a boner killer.
That is.
Yeah, that is.
It's a boner reverser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got an innie now instead of an outie. I was with you through everything, Lindsay, but I'm sorry. It's just not going to work out anymore. Everybody's still talking about Justin Bieber's performance of a lifetime in that deposition that you can see on TMZ.
It's most entertaining video he's ever made.
It's remarkable.
It really is. That somebody who's really, he's pretty savvy as far as using media and doing
interviews. Well, here's the thing. He didn't know. He didn't a million years ever think that
this
court deposition that's being videotaped would ever get out to the public. This is him unvarnished. This
right.
is the real stripped
Bieber,
down
right.
Justin Bieber acting like just a punk ass douche behind closed doors, thinking that, well, no one will ever see this. I don't have to put on the good boy face I do for the public. I'm just going to be me here.
Love it.
Did you see when he got all tough guy when the guy asked him about Selena Gomez? He's like, don't ever talk to me about her. Don't ever bring her name up. Don't ever talk. I mean, he's like staring him down like he's going to beat him.
Don't ask me about her again, he said repeatedly to the lawyer in a threatening tone. But my favorite part, as we see more and more footage from this deposition, is his monumental Kevinism.
How dare you?
When in talking about Usher's role in his career, you know, Usher discovered him on YouTube, basically.
Right.
We got Usher to blame for all this, first of all. And the lawyer asks, wasn't Usher responsible for your career? And Bieber tries to say he was instrumental in his own career.
Right.
Instead, I think I was detrimental to my own career, he says.
I was found on YouTube. I think that I was detrimental to my own career.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what he was doing.
True words have never been spoken by accident.
At that second,
he is detrimental to his own career. He's, he's done now. I think he's done.
Well,
This has got to be the stick that breaks the piñata.
The other attorney said, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm sitting right next to you, but I didn't hear you. And Bieber's attorney said, he said he was instrumental in his own career.
Yeah.
trying to correct it?
Yep.
Nice.
Then he said, he's got his picture of in Sentinels.
How dare you?
Which we didn't.
Then he brought up somebody named Eve W. Ladback.
Right.
What was that all about,
Then
Ralph?
He said Usher had a wooden hand.
It was weird.
Which I was really confused was by. Weird. Usher's got a wooden hand. He said, are you sure you think about Usher? Then he said, who was that guy that I used to like, but I don't, the comedian, now he sings once in a while?
Well, I'll probably have his picture there with a sudden move.
Yeah.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right. He's talking about Usher, and it's weird. Then they had to call for a recess because they thought he was having a stroke. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jimmy Iovine, probably one of the most influential record producer and executives of the past 30 years.
Yeah, I guess so.
Gotta be.
Guy's been in the studio with everybody and has been responsible for so many careers after the fact. Once he got out of the studio, just Interscope Records, of course.
And now he's one of the bigwigs of Beats Music.
That's right. 61 years old today. Singer Nina Hagen is 59. Director and actor Peter Berg turns 52. Lisa Loeb. Whatever happened to Lisa Loeb? She was so cute with her little glasses.
Still makes records.
You say. That's all.
She does still make records?
Yes,
no
she
one,
does.
No one listens?
No one listens to them, but she makes them.
I think her audience is smaller, maybe, perhaps, than it once was, but she still has some fans.
More selective.
Maybe? More selective, that's right.
She's appealing to a more selective
crowd. It's not that she's less popular.
She's detrimental in her own career, I think. Actor Terrence Howard is 45 years old. Johnny Knoxville turns 43. Benji and Joel Madden, the Maddens of Good Charlotte, are 35. Actress Thora Birch is 32 years old. And actor Anton Yelchin, you know him probably these days as Chekhov in the rebooted Star Trek franchise. He's 25 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Comedian, actor Zach Galifianakis is just one of the funniest people in the whole wide world. He's got an internet video series that he's been doing for a few years now called Between Two Ferns. And they call it that because Zach plays a talk show host who's doing an interview on a set literally between two ferns. And he's had some great guests in the past.
Yeah, if you haven't watched this, you will go to funnyordie.com and you will watch all of them. Yeah.
Because yes,
the first one you see, you'll go, I can't believe this is happening. And then it's so awesome. And he really does get the A-listers.
It's so awkward, too. But nobody saw this coming. This was completely under wraps. President Barack Obama, who's out there in the final weeks of the sign-up period for his Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, he's out there, you know, trying to reach people on the internet with, you know, details about the thing. So he sits down with Zach, and he gives as good as he gets as President Barack Obama is the guest on Funny or Die. I'm not hearing anything. Oh, there we go.
Sorry, I had to cancel a few times. My mouse pad broke last week, and I had to get my great aunt some diabetes shoes. And
you know what, Zach? It's no problem. I mean, I have to say, when I heard that, like, people actually watch this show, I was actually pretty surprised.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. I'm your host, Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is President Barack Obama.
Good to be with you, Zach.
First question. In 2013, you pardoned a turkey. What do you have planned for 2014?
You always wonder, like, if when the president's coming in, how much is Zach going to change his rap?
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, the way he does it. Because he, in general, knows nothing about right. the people that he interviews.
And you can't tell whether Zach is nervous or not because he appears this way in all of his interviews. I love that he said to the president, shh, shh. How often does that happen?
Never. Except for probably Michelle.
In 2013, you pardoned a turkey. What do you have planned for 2014?
We'll probably pardon another turkey. We do that every Thanksgiving. Was that depressing to you, seeing one turkey kind of taken out of circulation, a turkey you couldn't eat?
So how does this work? Do you send Ambassador Rodman to North Korea on your behalf? I read somewhere that you'd be sending Hulk Hogan to Syria, or is that more of a job for Tanya Harding?
Zach, he's not our ambassador.
What should we do about North IKEA?
Why don't we move on?
I have to know, what is it like to be the last black president?
Seriously? What's it like for this to be the last time you ever talked to a president?
It must kind of stink, though, that you can't run, you know, three times.
Actually, I think it's a good idea. If I ran a third time, it'd be sort of like doing a third Hangover movie. It didn't really work out very well, did it?
By the way, the president, really pretty good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty good stuff.
Now, I have to say that I've seen this show before, and some of the episodes have probably been a little bit better than this. You know, for example, the one with Bradley Cooper, that was a great show.
Bradley Cooper, yeah, everybody loves
him. He kind of carried that movie, didn't he?
Which film are you speaking of?
Those Hangover movies. Basically, he carried them.
Yeah, everybody loves Bradley. Good for him.
Good-looking guy.
Being like that in Hollywood, that's easy. Tall, handsome, that's easy. Be short, fat, and smell like Doritos and try to make it in Hollywood. Is it going to be hard in 2 years when you're no longer president and people will stop letting you win at basketball?
How does it feel having a 3-inch vertical?
It's a 3-inch horizontal. So. Where are you planning on building a presidential library, in Hawaii or your home country of Kenya? Because I mean, both places seem like they would be...
Zach, that's a ridiculous question.
Well, you know, I mean, not to bring up the birth certificate thing, but you really never did really produce your real...
Where's your birth certificate? Why don't you show it to us right now?
I don't want to show anybody my birth certificate because it's embarrassing.
What's embarrassing about it?
My weight on it, it says that I was born 7 pounds, 800 ounces. You know what I would do if I were president, Mr. President? I would make same-sex divorce illegal. Then see how bad they want it.
I think that's why you're not president. And that's a good thing.
You said if you had a son, you would not let him play football. What makes you think that he would want to play football? What if he was a nerd like you?
Do you think a woman like Michelle would marry a nerd? Why don't you ask her whether she thinks I'm a nerd?
Could I?
No, I'm not going to let her near you.
So do you go to any websites that are .coms or .nets, or do you mainly just stick with .govs?
No, actually, we go to .govs. Have you heard of healthcare.gov?
Here we go. Okay, let's get this out of the way. What did you come here to plug?
Well, first of all, I think it's fair to say that I wouldn't be with you here today if I didn't have something to plug. Have you heard of the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's the thing that doesn't work. Why would you get the guy that created the Zune to make your website?
Healthcare.gov works great now. And millions of Americans have already gotten health insurance plans. And what we want is for people to know that you can get affordable health care. And most young Americans, right now, they're not covered. And the truth is that they can get coverage, all for what it costs you to pay your cell phone bill.
Is this what they mean by drones?
The point is that a lot of young people, they think they're invincible.
Did you say invisible? Because
No.
Think like that's improbable.
Not invisible, invincible.
Okay.
Meaning that they don't think they can get hurt.
I'm just saying that nobody could be invisible if you had said invisible.
I understand that. If they get that health insurance, it can really make a big difference. And they've got till March 31st to sign up.
I don't have a computer, so how does...
Well, then you can call 1-800-318-2596.
I don't have a phone. I'm off the grid. I don't want you people like looking at my text, if you know what I mean.
First of all, Zach, nobody's interested in your texts. But second of all, you can do it in person. And the law means that insurers can't discriminate against you if you've got a pre-existing condition anymore.
Is your plug finally over?
I suppose so.
So which country were you rooting for in the Winter Olympics?
Seriously? I'm the President of the United States. What do you think, Zach?
I want to thank President Obama for being on the show.
I'm going to press this.
Don't touch that, please.
Shh. Red button on the desk. Set comes down. Turns out they're in the White House.
Oh. Thanks for the interview, and thanks for letting me shoot my show here all these years.
You've been shooting these shows here in the diplomatic room? Who gave you permission to do that?
Bush.
Seriously? Who gave him clearance?
So there you go, President Barack Obama as a guest on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. You could see the video, by the way, on the Kevin Bean Facebook page, or we tweeted it out, at Kevin Bean. Very funny stuff. 1 week from today, the new album from Foster the People comes out. It is called Supermodel. The band is going to be joining us in studio next hour to talk all about it and perform live. That's still to come here on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, funny man Taylor Williamson is going to be joining us. He's one of the acts on the bill for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. You can get details on that at krock.com. Right now, though, I got a question for you guys. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news.
What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now
in Florida.
Kevin, what's up with Florida, by the way?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
I really don't.
There's a lot up with it.
It's so bizarre. Do you think there's just people are paying attention to it more?
No. I think these stories would make the news no matter what state they're in. They just all happen to be in Florida.
These bizarre, crazy, whacked out stories, 99% of them come from one state.
Yep.
Yeah, Florida is honked up. By the way, I don't even have this in the report, but you saw that George Zimmerman, the man who was the face of Stand Your Ground, the guy who shot the unarmed black teenager and got away with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was signing autographs at a gun show over the weekend.
Oh,
people were lined up to get his signature.
That's at a gun show. Disgusting.
Wow. That's what's up with Florida. Albert Moreno gets us started in today's report. He drove by one police officer at such a high speed, the officer said he saw just a blur go by, felt his car shake. Another police officer said that his pickup went so fast that the speed was unable to be determined. Well, the police took hot pursuit, finally were able to pull over Moreno. He's 45 years old. He slurred out that he was on his way to kill his friend for screwing him over earlier in the day. And he knew that he was speeding all over the road because he was drunk. The man's shirt was inside out. It was backwards. He smelled of booze. He said he'd been drinking all day. He just finished a half a dozen beers at the last stop. Anyway, he got out and failed the sobriety exercises, has been arrested on a DUI charge. I don't know that I'm on my way to kill my friend is the defense you want to have for, I mean, go with the diarrhea or go with my wife is having a baby, something maybe to get a little sympathy with the police, right?
Anything different than murder one confession?
Right, exactly. A Florida Keys man was arrested after deputies say that he robbed his girlfriend and then tried to eat the money that he stole, according to Monroe County Sheriff's Office. Look, we've heard of cases in the past where you try to get rid of evidence.
Right.
But usually it's not cash, right? He was drunk, as everyone in Florida seems to be. Deputies say he left a party, became angry at his girlfriend, and demanded that they go home. He took his girlfriend's wallet that had $750 in cash with him in the police car, apparently. The police officers noticed that there was a strange sound coming from the backseat, and he was chewing on a mouthful of cash. Some of the cash ended up in his underwear, by the way, but when all was said and done, out of the $750, by the time they got to the police station, there was only $277 left.
Wow.
That's impressive.
I don't know that you're solving anything by eating the cash that your girlfriend says you stole.
He's going to be pooping money for weeks.
He certainly is. Here's another guy who got arrested, and yes, he was drunk also. He made a run for it. You only ever see this on TV, but this is a guy who was in handcuffs. He was between cop cars. His name was Jefferson Bowden. He decided to make a run for it even though he was in handcuffs. Well, he got about 100 feet away before his pants that he was wearing low slipped down and tripped him up onto the ground. So all those adults who told him to pull up your damned pants or you're going to fall down, he apparently should have listened. So he ended up obviously put in leg shackles, taken back to the patrol car, and they added on account of resisting arrest to his charges. He must have been thinking, why did I not think of that? Here's a, this is not the way to win over your lady. A guy who lives on the hilariously named Tranquil Lane was anything but. He's in Boca Raton. His name is Jong Park, 37 years old, arrested for charges of domestic battery. What did he do? Well, his wife would not have sex with Mr. Park, so he threw a toaster at her.
What?
I don't know that that ever works.
No,
ever.
That's very romantic.
In the history of trying to talk a lady into sexy time, I'm not sure that throwing a toaster at her has ever worked.
It's the gift of silver.
Apparently so. So, again, no sex. Although, who knows, maybe there was sex later on in the day for him in prison. I don't know what the story was. And finally, here's a man out of Key West. His name is Guy Lanchester, 46 years old. He was arrested, for cocaine possession and also for trying to hide the evidence. He tried to stuff the bag of cocaine that was in his hand into a flower pot. Police caught him on that, asked him about the cocaine, and he said, "I don't understand. I thought cocaine wasn't illegal in Florida." Look, what? I know Florida is honked up.
Why did he try and bury it then?
Who knows? He panicked. He thought cocaine wasn't illegal. I mean, I guess in Florida, that's pretty much it. Anything goes. That's a state where you're walking down the street, you see alligators crossing the road,
sure.
And it just feels like Sodom and Gomorrah. It just feels like end times. Maybe it feels like there's no law. I don't know. But again, we know ignorance of the law is no defense. But I thought cocaine would... Look, maybe you're confused because you've seen that pot is gaining some traction in some states. I don't think we're quite at cocaine yet. But when we are, we'll get back to Mr. Lanchester. That is why we asked the question, what's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Are you singing, Bean? Just humming along, you know.
Wow. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Bean just in the back of the white panel van, just rocking back and forth with the duct tape in one hand, the zip ties in the other.
How dare you.
But,
How dare you.
Just tuneless humming the rocks.
Here's the man who insists we introduce him as the guy who owns the internet as a result of his appearance on At Midnight on Comedy Central last night. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
I don't own the internet. I won the internet.
You won Well, if you won it, then you own it. You own things that you win.
But they lease it to him for a day.
You win the internet. I won the internet.
Okay.
I won it. Own it. I could have bought it if I own it, right? But I didn't. I won it. It's sweeter to win than it is to buy.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. But feel free to use my internet today. I want you all to partake.
Thank you. You're letting us?
I want you all to partake. Wow. You will find me, I believe, a fair but generous ruler. And so I give you all free reign over my internet today.
That's nice. Even me? Because I feared I was somehow going to be blocked.
No, sir. Please. I with my newfound power, I have found a certain amount of magnanimous nature that is just... It's just I'm overflowing with goodwill today. So please, by all means, partake in my internet bean. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Revel in it, if you will.
Don't share it with us, but feel free to do whatever you want.
No, share away, bean. I have no ill will towards any man today on this good day. Nothing can go wrong today.
All it's good things. To be king.
It is good to be king. It's been quite a couple days for me because yesterday I won the internet. And then today, DC Comics announced that... I will be writing, along with my friend Kevin Smith, and along with amazing artist Ty Templeton, a 1966 Batman comic book.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
It is all I've ever wanted, that's all.
Just that?
That's all, just that.
Only that?
It's just all my dreams come true. On May the 21st, first in digital release, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet will launch as a 12-part bi-weekly digital comic book series, and then... It will go into print in the comic shops on June 4th. The first of a six-part print series will be released on June the 4th. So coming this summer, I will be writing The Adventures of 1966 Adam West Batman.
Holy nick of time.
Holy nick of time that indeed, boy wonder.
Amazing.
It is ridiculous. It's crazy good.
Holy jigsaw puzzles.
Holy jigsaw puzzles indeed. Boy wonder.
Holy stampede.
Okay, I think, Robin, we get it. I think it's a holy thing. That's what we're saying.
I'll bet Bean has 20 more.
I'm sure he does.
Holy New Year's Eve.
I want to give away something.
All right. How about the internet?
No, I'm holding on to that.
Okay.
But I will give away a pair of tickets to Pele Fest 2014. You know how much I love Pele Fest. Pele Fest is the event each and every year thrown by the Pele Center, which is just an amazing organization, previously known as the Museum of Television Radio. Now they're the Pele Center of Media. And you can go to PeleCenter.org if you'd like to get more details or get your own tickets to this amazing festival. Every year they take a month, and then they bring in the cast and creative teams of some of your favorite TV shows, both past and present. And it's an amazing lineup this year. Just some of the names, to give you an example. Some of your favorite TV shows they'll be honoring this year. Veronica Mars, Orange is the New Black, American Horror Story, Coven, Lost, Veep, Mad Men. It just goes on and on and on. You meet all the cast and the creative teams, and then you get to ask them questions in a very intimate Q&A setting. It's great for TV geeks like myself. If you haven't attended one of these, you will surely enjoy it, I promise you. This day, I'd like to give you a pair of tickets. One winner will get a pair of tickets to the How I Met Your Mother Farewell.
Yay!
Cast and creators of that show will be on hand to talk about the end of that very popular long-running series. And I'm sure they'll be talking a little bit about the spinoff as well, How I Met Your Father, that's coming up. So if you're a fan of How I Met Your Mother, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067, and I'll give you a pair of tickets to attend the Pele Fest 2014 event. And I said, if you can't get in or you don't win, rather, you can go to PeleCenter.org to find out more details. This is a double-edged sword, I would think.
Good news, bad news?
For example, Lisa and I live near each other. We're in the same neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And in our neighborhood is the Brady Bunch house.
The actual house they used?
The house, the exterior
house
they shot for every episode of the Brady Bunch. When you would show you the Brady's house before they would cut to the inside of whatever shenanigans were going on with Mike and Carol and the kids, they would show you this house from the outside. And in our neighborhood is the Brady Bunch house. And invariably, you will see cars driving by and slowing down and taking pictures because it's a very recognizable home. It's the Brady Bunch house that America grew up with. I would think that would be a double-edged sword. One, you get to live in the Brady Bunch house. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you got douchebags.
Yeah.
Right?
People driving by all the time to take a picture,
knocking on your door, wanting to take a tour.
Well, keep that in mind before you buy the Dunphy's family home from Modern Family.
Where is that?
It's in the west side of L.A.
Oh, all right.
I'm not sure exactly where, but I'm guessing probably, I don't know, Cheviot Hills or someplace over there, Culver City, something like that. Apparently, it's going up for sale, and it's a beautiful home, 4 bedrooms, 4.5 baths. It's gorgeous. You see it in every episode of Modern Family. They show the outside of the Dunphy family home. And if you'd like to own a little piece of TV history, you can buy that house. It's now up for grabs. It can be all yours for a low, low price of $2.35 million.
All right.
Not too bad. And you get to live in the Modern Family house.
It's kind of cool.
With the cast, are they there?
Yeah, they live there. Yeah, it's awesome.
Good.
Hang out with Phil and Claire and all the Dunphys. Especially those Dunphy daughters, you know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Come on. You know Dunphy daughters. You know what I'm saying about the Dunphy daughters, don't you?
Nope.
Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Looks like they're back together again.
Oh, good.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Most of these Hollywood couples who have these splits or have they take the separation, try to figure things out, things do not go well. But they were seen together at a very fancy restaurant called New York Steak, and they popped in with a business associate last week, according to People magazine, and the couple held hands, and they drank wine, and they laughed, and they kissed, and they seemed to be in very good spirits. So it looks like the two of them have worked out their issues and are back together again. That makes me happy. It's good to be the king of the internet. I can make I can put couples back together again.
And who says a 25-year age difference is enough to keep you apart?
See? It's good news for Bob Saget. Today's celebrity birthdays. Anton Yelchin, you know him, of course, as Chekhov in the rebooted Star Trek franchise. He's 25 years old. Actress Thora Birch, who is lovely and talented at 32 years old. Doesn't it sound like she should be a silent film star?
Yes.
Shouldn't she be like, we talk about her death at 97? Yep. And Thora Birch, longtime silent film star, has passed away this morning. But no, she's young and beautiful and talented. Benji and Joel Madden of Good Charlotte are 35. Johnny Knoxville's 43. Terrence Howard turns 45 years old. Lisa Loeb. He's 46. Actor-turned-director Peter Berg is 52. Man who gave us not only such great films as Friday Night Lights, but also Battleship.
Sure.
So he's got that going for him.
I thought that was underrated, by the way. I like Battleship.
I'm sure you did.
I did.
I'm sure you did. Singer Nina Hagen is 59. Jimmy Iovine celebrates his 61st birthday. And Bobby McFerrin is 64. You know what that means?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm going to dig deep in the vault and pull out a little.
Please don't.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Let's go. Stuck in my head for a week.
Don't worry. Be happy. We're going to have a good time today.
Well, yes, I feel like we've done it now. I feel like we don't need to read it.
That's right.
That was just my style.
It was better.
My interpretation. We're going to hear the original in the next hour. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
But what all the water contains, a little drop for me.
Ralph Garman on the desk, ladies and gentlemen.
No, he plays a desk like I.
That's true. It's the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:09.
Just announced yesterday morning, right about this time, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014 is coming up on Saturday, April 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Got a lot of great reaction from fans of the Kevin and Bean Show about the lineup this year. And how could you not love this? Jim Jefferies, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie F., Taylor Williamson, also music in-house from DJ Mike Realm. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon. Once again, the proceeds this year go to benefit the Cedar Sinai NICU. They do great work down there. And also Fisher House is new for us this year as well. You get all the details and make plans to buy your tickets this Friday at noon. Go to krock.com for more.
Alcohol affects people in different ways. Some people get angry. Some people get funnier than usual. Ralph, I think, gets funnier than usual. Some people get mouthier than usual. Some people are sad.
Yeah.
Makes them cry. And then there's Beer Mug.
Yep.
And Beer Mug is a guy. We went Friday to Morongo Casino for a blackjack tournament. And when I met Beer Mug, when I saw him for the very first time, I realized he's got a load on.
7 o'clock in the evening.
Already.
7 o'clock in the evening. Just hammered.
Did you go down there right after the show and just spend the day drinking before the tournament began, Muggs?
No. Dave and I drove Dave down there about 1 o'clock, and we didn't get there till about four. Had some lunch, and Dave said, okay, I'm going to go take a nap, before the tournament.
We'd been up early.
Yeah. I was like, all right, I'll see you later. I'm going to go hit the tables and get my drink on.
So he got his drink on, and the first thing I heard was, hey, Kevin. I was like, oh, what, Muggs? What's going on? Meat? Paul, this guy is a Vietnam vet. And I was like, okay, thanks for your service, sir. I didn't know what to say because Beer Mug had been chatting him up apparently since four when King of Mexico.
Beer Mug's new best friend.
Right.
Was this homeless-looking nom vet guy who was playing the penny slots or whatever he was doing there at Morongo. And Beer Mug had adopted him in his drunken haze and then proceeded to try to make this new vet everybody's best friend in the group.
He wanted to share him with us.
Which was wildly inappropriate and awkward for all involved except Beer Mug. This guy was Vietnam vet. He friendly napalmed.
He did say that.
Friendly napalm. He got friendly napalm.
He
kept screaming that at the top of his lungs. Like, I thought it was the guy's name. He's like, I thought it was Fred Lee Napalm, I thought was his name. It's friendly napalm.
So then we talked to him for a while until we were able to pry ourselves away.
I feel so bad for that guy. That night with Mugs on Friday is the second worst thing that's ever happened in his life after being napalm.
Trust me, this guy was happy to have somebody to talk to. And Beer Mug was obliging. And then was going to, I guess, introduce him to a whole new world of best friends.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Beer Mugs when he drinks. He will start talking to you. And at no point would he ever lose interest in whatever small talk he's making. He would die talking to you if he wasn't forced to leave or that person leaves. Beer Mug would talk to him till the end of his life.
And there's no need for a response for Beer Mug when he's drunk. You don't need to participate in the conversation. He is having a fully formed conversation at all times, whether you acknowledge him or not. I could not have turned my back on Beer Mug more all night long, and he just kept talking to me.
The first time Ralph turned his back on him, and Ralph was frustrated because he'd spent 3.5 hours on the road or something like that.
It was a bit of traffic to get there.
And I knew it would annoy Ralph, so I brought Beer Mug over. I was like, come on, let's hang out with Ralph. And Ralph looked at me like he was going to kill me. And then, of course, I walked away, and I turned back later. I took like 7-8 pictures of Mugs just following Ralph around. He was yours for the night.
He just wouldn't release me. It's like a dog with a bone. Hey, Ralph. Hey, blackjack and turnstile is different. Yeah, you got to split tens. I was like, no, Beer Mug, you don't change the rules of math because it's a tournament play. You know, if you have a 10, that's a winning hand. You have to stick with the winner. Nope. It's not how it works in blackjack. Trust me. Trust me. I know.
Oh, that's the other thing. He knows everything.
Oh, boy, does he.
And you just have to trust him. He's not going to give you any proof. He's just, trust me. Just trust me.
I've been drinking tequila and ginger ale all day. I think I might move to beer. Well, thank you, Beer. Thank you for giving me your drinking strategy for the remainder of the evening. Please keep me up to date, because I don't want one drink to go by without knowing what your plan is.
You didn't say, what are you drinking?
No!
Mugs, does any of this sound familiar to you, or is the whole evening a blur?
Oh, it's slightly a blur. I do remember bringing every random person I was meeting up to Kevin and Ralph to introduce them.
This is Party Paul from Palm Springs. Who is that, Beer Mug? Party Paul! Party Paul works at a radio station in Palm Springs! We got that in common. We're talking radio!
Cut to 2 hours later. Ralph walks up to me and goes, look, Muggs is still talking to Party Paul.
Party Paul and Muggs are still a couple. Muggs is taking Party Paul back to the room, I think. We got a love connection.
At some point, do Muggs invite. Telling Party Paul that he needed to hang with him.
Oh, well, we had to go. We had a little after party after the big novelty giant check was given to the winner of the tournament. We all went to Tacos and Tequilas there at Morongo to have a little after party. We'd eat something and have some more cocktails. And I hear Beer Mug saying to Party Paul, just come with me. I'll get you into places. Follow me. I'll get you places. And he's like walking Party Paul into an event that was open to the public.
That was absolutely free.
And open.
And open.
Not a red velvet rope in sight. Not a bouncer.
Nobody trying to keep people out.
No, Party Paul would have been fine on his own. Beer Mug decided to take full credit for that. Yeah, come with me. I'll get you into things. Come with me, Party Paul.
Now, I ditched you at some point, Mugs, but how long did you talk to Party Paul until yesterday morning?
Party Paul had a overnight shift about 3 o'clock, so he had a take off.
Oh,
so.
What a bummer! Did you go with him?
No.
What did you do without anyone to pester and talk to?
Whoever was next to Muggs, I guarantee, got a 2-hour conversation that they did not want.
He's the guy that you're stuck to next to, in the DMV line or on the bus, whatever. The guy in the plane, he just won't hammering. Shut up. And you put your earbuds in and you put your eye shade on and your travel pillow and he just keeps talking to you.
And he's harmless. I mean, he's not mad about anything.
How is he harmless?
I'm just saying he's gregarious. He's outgoing. He's having a great time. So it's not like it's bad that way, but he will not disconnect from you.
My ears will smell that conversation forever.
There were numerous amount of times where Ralph looked at me, and I do remember this being you're asking. Ralph looked at me and said, "Beer mug, I'm going to punch you if you do not get away from me."
I heard that like three times. Yeah. Now, for most of us, we would then move somewhere else.
Not the mugs.
Well,
okay, Ralph, yeah. You didn't believe me. I'm saying, I'm giving you fair warning. Physical harm will come to me if you don't stop talking to me.
So we going out again, guys?
Never!
Never.
I think Lisa's a little distracted by all the dreamy men that just came into the studio right there during the traffic.
Yeah, my voice cracked.
blushing a little bit, looking around.
Hey, it's Foster and his people, ladies and gentlemen. Mark, Cubby, and Mark from Foster the People have joined us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, boys.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
What's going on? It's been a while since you stopped in to see us, I think.
It's been a minute.
Yep. Couple minutes.
We're back.
I can't believe, and part of this is because your songs have remained in heavy rotation here at K-Rock. I can't believe it's been 3 years since your first album came out already.
I know. It's been a while. Feels weird that we have a record coming out in a week.
Mm. Does it? You wrote it on the road, right?
Yeah, we try. I mean, we got some writing done on the road, and then it took like a year to just really kind of dive in and spent a good amount of studio time kind of throughout all of last year just working on it.
You know, so much has been written since rock and roll began about how a musical act has its entire life to make its debut album, and then usually they've got to come up with a follow-up, you know, pull it out of their ass in a year or something like that. And it's a very different set of experiences because you've learned so much, A, about making a record, and B, about being a band because of all those hundreds of shows you did. I'm sure you went into this in a completely different mindset than making the first record.
The weirdest thing about the second record for me was just the thought that people were going to actually hear the music.
Because the first time around, who knew?
Yeah, the first time around, it was just kind of like, we're just making this for ourselves. Yeah.
So you made it before you toured at all.
Right.
Then you toured for 3 years, and now you're going to go in and make a second album. And do you picture yourself singing it on stage? Is that a thought process?
I think because the first record was so electronic that, and I hadn't really thought about how we would play it live, that when it was time to play it live, I was like, oh my God, like, what melodies can we lose? Like, what do we need to keep and what can we lose? And so with this record, I think it was more intentional with kind of the songwriting process, thinking about, okay, well, when we play this live, you know, this is going to make sense. That we don't have like 10 synth parts going at once.
I mean, I guess that's something you have to factor into it because there's a lot of stuff you can do in the studio that then you're kind of hosed when you want to play live. Now, do you guys all take part in writing or no?
Yeah, this was definitely a more collaborative record than the first one, I think.
The first one you just ruled with an iron fist, right?
Yeah, it's like Putin.
let me hear from the people. Tell me what your thoughts are about the writing of this record, because I'm always fascinated about what you guys come up with for a second album in terms of what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it was a really fun process, actually. We were in a studio up in Malibu, kind of near Point Doom, and just kind of hunkered down in there and had all kinds of instruments set up and kind of felt like summer camp because we were living in the house and then the studio was out back and just had a lot of fun just, I don't know, rolling out of bed, cruising down to the studio and making noise all day. And
was it easy to concentrate? Because in that situation, it seems like, A, I would be wanting to go to the beach. Video games are always there.
Yeah, there were a lot of distractions. Me and Cubby went down to the beach a couple times and got some surf. Just take a little break of the day.
Nice. What do you guys think, maybe there's no answer to this, but are Foster the People songs about any kind of thing in particular, or are they just all over the place?
This record, I'd say, is really about kind of just, I guess, culture and just the evolution of culture. And I feel like specifically just kind of like the generation that we have, that we're living in now, just with social media and the inundation of technology and just kind of how that's affecting our day-to-day life, which I find to just be like a really fascinating topic.
Are you for it or against it?
I'm both, you know. I'm not like one or the other, but I did take kind of experimentally, like, stepped back from all social media for, I guess, about 7 or 8 months now, just to kind of test it. Because I feel like it's one of those things that we've just kind of automatically allowed into our lives, but not very many people are, like, saying, wait a second, maybe we should draw a boundary here. We've kind of always just said, you know, oh, it's good. Like, new technology, new way to connect with so-and-so, like, quicker, you know, whatever it is. Like, get grocery doors delivered to my door. Great. And we just kind of let everything in. But I don't know. For me, it's like we've been living thousands of years without it, but only 5 years with it. So I find
But haven't those 5 years been better?
But you could say that about my DVR also, but I'm certainly not giving it up. I mean, there are some things that come along that do change your life, and you can't imagine ever living without them.
That's true.
How did you do for your 7 or 8 months that you tried to?
Good. I mean, you know, it's the most interesting thing. I don't know. For me, the most interesting byproduct of it was the second I got off Facebook and stopped tweeting, my life just got more peaceful. And that was a really interesting thing. I didn't think that would happen as a result. But like, it was just like the static noise that I hadn't even been aware of, kind of just all around my in and outs of my life. It just kind of stopped, and I was just sitting in a room alone.
That's good for like 5 minutes. Then I'm right back on Twitter.
Now, Mark, do you think that that's because of all the negativity on the internet that you can't avoid if you use social media?
Honestly, I think for me, it's just it was the fact that there was an open portal of communication, and any time that I was bored or wanted to connect to somebody or wanted to talk to somebody, I would just go and like send a tweet out, and then I would sit there and I would wait, and I would see like, oh, okay, like if I say something clever enough, then it's going to get retweeted like multiple times, and I find that it's a really interesting thing in our culture that we're kind of using, like that's validating our thoughts, and you know, our Instagram, how many friends we have, how many followers we have, is validating our existence, and we're almost, you know, we have half an identity at home, and then half of our identity now is existing on the internet, and it's kind of this identity that we've created to like curate and show people like what we want them to see, which is why we named the record Supermodel.
See, it all comes around, you guys. You're hearing the voices of the band Foster the People here on the Kevin Bean Show. Their new record is called Supermodel. It does come out a week from today, next Tuesday, March 18th. They're going to be performing live for us here in a couple of minutes. You guys have a show coming up at the Fox Theater in Pomona. That one's sold out April 8th. Then you're playing Coachella.
Coachella.
How are you feeling about that?
Good. It's going to be fun. I mean, it's we've played festivals all over the world now, and it's still probably our favorite. It's such a great place.
Really?
We're
going to be on both Saturdays, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you would rather play for people that you have to win over rather than play for a room full of people that you know are Foster the People fans because they bought tickets to come see you.
There's something about Coachella. I feel like there's very few things that are more beautiful than Magic Hour at Coachella.
Yeah.
Like when the sun is setting at Coachella, not only does it seem like it lasts forever, but it's just kind of, you're looking around and there's just kind of, I don't know, there's a certain look to kind of the golden haze at that festival that's just, it's really energizing.
What if you have to play 1 hour before that when the sun is directly in your face?
That's brutal.
We've been there.
Foster the People is here. I wanted to ask, was it just you, Mark Foster, who went away, left the country for a few months in the process of writing this record, or did everybody go?
That was a solo, kind of a solo trip.
And you went to Morocco, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were gone for long enough that you started to think about what it's like to not live in America, and then you can look at America kind of through fresh eyes when you come back, right?
Yeah, it was a really crazy trip. It was the longest I've ever been out of the U.S. I think I was gone for probably 3.5 months total. And when I came back, I've never been culture shocked in my own home. That was the first time when I came back and I was culture shocked in L.A. Which was a really interesting thing. But that trip kind of fueled a lot of the concepts that ended up going into this record, just seeing how other people live outside of Western culture and just how they communicate. And that was kind of what made me start really thinking about the social media thing, because I was in India and I was in Israel and I was in Africa and some places, you know, that are a little bit more desolate and their culture, they're communicating face to face still. And I just found that there was
losers.
Like...
wait, they're not sitting around a table at dinner and everyone's on their phone?
Yeah, I mean,
I found myself at that dinner table before, and I go, I should pull my phone out and do something. I don't know. It seems like I'm the only one.
It was shocking to me many, many years ago when I first started traveling overseas to realize that America is not the focal point of the world that we think it is when we live here. Because we do think that everyone around the world is looking to America to see what we're up to. And you spend a couple of weeks or a couple of months like you did in a place like India, and you realize that America barely exists on their radar. It's so insignificant, with the exception of imported entertainment. That's the only time that they think of America is when they see a movie or hear a record.
Totally, man.
That's not a question, I don't think.
It was not a question.
I don't feel like that was a question.
But I guess I was just wondering if you kind of came to the same conclusion, which is, wow, it's a big, big world and we're only a slice of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it fueled a lot of ideas and thoughts. And I think, like, just, you know, it's just amazing to see. It's amazing for me to see their sense of community, their sense of what they love, how they communicate. I mean, in India in particular, like, that place is just, it really is, you know, it's so cliche for a musician to come back and say India changed my life, you know, but it's like, it really is that type of a place where it's like, there's people, I went to villages where they really have nothing, but then there's, down the street, there's a temple made out of solid gold. And that's like a huge, that was just like the eye-opening thing where it's like these people dedicate their lives to what they believe. And there's like, there's a reverence to the way that they live their lives, which is very different from the way that we live our lives. They live for the greater of their community, as opposed to us living for the greater of self, as individuals. And so that was, I think, probably the biggest difference.
You may be too thoughtful for this show, Mark. Although I do love the dot on your forehead. I think that's an awesome one. So, Supermodel, next Tuesday is the new Foster the People record. It's coming out. There's all sorts of deals, by the way. You can pre-order if you want to go to Foster the People and find out all sorts of stuff. You're offering a bunch of different T-shirts and vinyl and instant downloads and everything. I mean, you guys have really thought this one through, it looks like.
We've got stuff.
We've got stuff. That's all you need to know.
We're streaming the record right now, too, on iTunes, so you can hear it in its entirety, I think.
Fantastic.
I don't know how many days, but
it's usually a week leading up to it, yeah. Mm.
That's it, to fosterthepeople.com. The guys are here, and as early as it is, they are going to attempt to perform live for us. Now, you guys are setting up acoustic, is that right?
We're going to play Coming of Age acoustically for you.
Can't wait. Looking forward to that. Foster the People right after this, live on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Foster the People in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, bright and early on a Tuesday morning, 1 week ahead of Supermodel, the new album coming out. As the guys mentioned, you can stream it right now on their website, on iTunes right now. You can stream the new album, which is called Supermodel. This Coming of Age, you're about to play acoustic for us. Did you already tell us kind of what this one's all about, you guys?
Oh, this one...
Wait, you're asking if they told us this 15 minutes ago?
I don't remember if this is one of the songs they already described to us.
Okay.
No, we haven't.
Okay, good.
This was the last song that we wrote when we were in the studio, and it was kind of just about that moment when we got off the road touring Torches, where just kind of looked around and all the noise kind of cleared, and it's just kind of, I guess, a reflective time. There it is.
There it is. Here it is, actually. Foster the People, live on K-Rock.
I got nothing to say.
to hurt the people that care the most. Just like an animal, I protect my pride when I'm too bruised to fight. And even when I'm wrong, I tend to think I'm right. Well, I'm bored of the game. And too tired to rage.
Feels like it's coming. Feels like
it's like a coming of age.
Feels like it's coming.
Feels like I'm burning of age.
Feels like it's coming.
Feels like a coming of age.
Bet you wish you wouldn't have written those super high notes for this morning.
That's awesome, you guys. Cubby's, that's you doing the background vocals there?
Cubby covers the lower vocals.
I'm sorry, nice. Bean, could I hear your impression of them again?
It's very Beach Boys. I have to say, I was really impressed. That sounded great. That is Coming of Age Acoustic here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous Carrick. The band Foster the People is here. You can see them the Saturdays of Coachella, along with Muse and Queens of the Stone Age and Skrillex and Pharrell Williams. Do you guys, do you wander after your before or after your show and see a bunch of the other acts?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm looking forward to going for both weekends because Coachella is one of those things where it's like there's always two bands playing at the same time that you want to see.
Always, yeah.
And sometimes you're running back and forth or I'll hear the first half here and then go there, hear the second half.
Yeah, right. You'll catch like 15 minutes here and whatever. So this time I'm going to kind of split it up, split it down the middle.
There you go.
Watch, you know, half and half.
We've got so many people to root for. I mentioned Muse and Queens of the Stone Age, but our friends at Cage the Elephant are playing on that Saturday. Capital Cities, Naked and Famous. I mean, it's really an awesome, awesome day. We got time if you guys want to try. You want to do another one for us here?
Yeah, tell us about this Pumped Up Kicks. What do we need to know about this song?
Yeah.
Or just play it.
Never heard of it.
Robert's got a quick hand. He'll look around the room. He won't tell you his plan. He's got a rolled cigarette hanging out his mouth. He's a cowboy kid. Jay found a six-shooter gun in his dad's closet with a box of fun things. And I don't even know what, but he's coming for you. Yeah, he's coming for you. Saying all the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, I'll run my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run faster than my bullet. Daddy works a long day. He be coming home late, and he's coming home late, and he's bringing me a surprise. dinner's in the kitchen and it's packed in ice. I've waited for a long time. Yeah, the slide of my hand is now a quick pull trigger. Reason with my cigarette. Then say, oh, hair's on fire, must have lost your wits, yeah. Are the other kids with the pumped up kicks? You better run, fire on my gun. Are the other kids with the pumped up kicks? You better run, faster than my bullet. Are the other kids with the pumped up kicks? You better run, fire on my gun. Are the other kids with the pumped up kicks? You better run, faster than my bullet. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, out of my gun. Kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, faster than my bullet.
Come on.
Yeah.
Those guys who do that song are right here. How about that?
Doing that song.
Foster the People here in studio with us on the Kevin and Sean K-Rock. That sounded great, you guys. Thank you for that.
Thanks, guys.
Seriously. So the album comes out next Tuesday. It's called Supermodel. And then what? You just hit the road for the rest of time?
The rest of our lives. Pretty much. Yeah, we'll be gone. I mean, I guess off and on for the rest of the year. But first Coachella kind of kicks it off, and that's like the beginning of our first US tour.
Sure.
So,
well, you can pre-order the album now at fosterthepeople.com. You can hear it streaming this week at iTunes, but definitely plan on buying it next Tuesday. Again, it is called Supermodel, and you guys are awesome. Thanks so much for coming by today. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having us on the show.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a world-famous K-Rock at 7:53.
Attention all Taylords. Your man Taylor Williamson joins us in studio right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
I love Taylor. He's great.
He is.
Funny man. Going to be part of our April Foolishness lineup.
That's right.
When
tickets
on sale
Friday, Friday at noon.
Friday at noon.
Friday at noon.
You know when it is?
Yep.
Yeah, buy your tickets, people, because they're going to fly. They're going to fly.
They're going to literally fly.
They're literally going to fly. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a bunch of them and just throw them out a window. You'll see. They'll fly. This is something I did not expect, but I thought most people were Kevin's. But it turns out there's a lot of beans out there. The new Fox series Cosmos from my buddy Seth MacFarlane did very well for itself in its premiere. Pulled in 8.5 million viewers on Sunday night, which is great considering the competition. Kevin has no interest in being informed.
That's not true.
Or entertained.
Entertained?
Well, it was both. Cosmos was both.
Yeah, I don't watch that. I didn't know. It was a king's game.
Did pretty well for itself. Also, considering that it was simulcast on 9 other Fox-owned networks, Nat Geo, FX, FXX, FXM, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, Nat Geo Wild, Nat Geo Mundo, and Fox Life, all aired the premiere of Cosmos as well, trying to reach as many eyes as possible. They say when it's all tallied up, the total audience could top 40 million people who watched the premiere of that show.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. Wildly popular, and in the wake of the success of the new science series Cosmos, there is a brand new science-based information entertainment show coming on the Science Channel, which would seem an appropriate place for it.
I think so.
It's from Late Late Show host Craig Ferguson, and it's called I Effing Love Science.
Great.
Apparently named after the Facebook page of the same name. It'll be an hour-long series. It'll also mix animation and live-action footage to talk about different elements of science that people find interesting. How about that one, Kevin? You going to watch that?
My God, who the hell cares?
Yeah, what's important about science and the way the world works? That's all that is.
Is there a possibility I'll ever understand it?
Yes, they do it in a way, Kevin, that even you would be able to comprehend what they're talking about. That's all the beauty of it. I'll tell you why movies are loud and reach your ears. How loud reach ear? So they'll give you that information. This is disturbing. Biggest money maker in the music business over the last 12 months, Billboard.com released their list of the top 5 money makers in music.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem was number one. Boy, she'd become popular since that big plug she got on the Oscars.
Sure.
Now the Rolling Stones were number 5.
Wow.
Out of all the people in the music industry, Rolling Stones are still the 5th biggest money-making act in the world.
Is that because they can charge so much for their tickets? I mean, aren't they crazy expensive?
They are pretty expensive to see, and they tour constantly. Bon Jovi was 4th.
That's the miracle to me, by the way, is that he has remained as popular as he was in the 80s. But he's still writing new stuff, though, isn't he?
He's a cowboy. What a steel horse he rides.
He does. That's all true.
Everybody wants him dead or alive. They don't care. They will go to see John Bon Jovi.
He does still put out new albums, Kevin, but that's not what's driving his ticket sales. It's people who want to go see him doing, you know, the hits from the 80s. But, I mean, it's just amazing that the he's never gone through a fallow period where people weren't interested in Bon Jovi. He did not suffer any kind of blowback once it got into the 90s and the 2000s. It's crazy.
Number 3 on the list, Justin Timberlake earned $31.4 million over the past 12 months. Number 2, Kenny Chesney.
Really? Is that country?
Yep. $33 million is what he earned over the past year.
He's one of those guys who plays stadiums, you guys.
Wow. It's crazy to me. But the tragic news, the one that will make you just...
Do not say
just
it.
Just choke on your breakfast.
Does it rhyme with Schmustin Schmieber?
No.
Okay, good.
Does rhyme with Schmaler Schmift, though.
Yankovic.
Schmaler Schmift.
Nope. No kids there.
Tadoff Switler, evil succubus that she is, took in $39.7 million thanks to touring and sales of her CDs and LPs as well as digital downloads. That's a grand total of almost $40 million over the past 12 months. Blech.
She made deserves every penny of it.
She made $10 million of that just from Bean.
That's right.
By the way, I know you guys aren't a fan of her music, and you're wrong, but she's...
That's an understatement, by the way.
She's 24 years old, and she made $40 million last year. That's insane, right? It's hard to wrap your head around that.
Yeah, all of those top five are insane.
Right, but the rest of those are people who've been around for a long time who are much older. You know what I mean?
Saddam Hussein had a lot of money, too. Doesn't make him good.
I'm just saying, look.
This is the same. You got boomed.
Bean boomed.
Boom. This is not
you got, hold on.
Boom.
There was a boom in the room.
You got boomed.
You can't continue.
I dropped the boom.
All right. I'm not sure when that became a rule, but maybe right
boom
now.
On you.
All right. I got boomed. I'll stand down.
All right. Stand down. You got boomed. Lindsay Lohan's new show on OWN. Those ratings are in. Ratings for her first reality show outing were okay, but not great. Preliminary Nielsen ratings show that Lindsay's Story pulled in about 700,000 viewers for Oprah's OWN network.
That seems way small.
Well, it's pretty good for the OWN network,
is it?
Believe it or not. Yeah, it's pretty good.
But I think, let me ask you guys this. Don't you feel like months have gone by with no Lindsay news? She's kind of off of our radar. We're not really that interested.
Clean and sober.
Yeah. So, I mean, they waited so long to put this on that we're not really that interested in her anymore.
Those numbers, Kevin, I know they seem paltry to you, but they're up 57% over the show that used to air in that slot.
Wow.
At the same time. Now, it's nothing compared to other cable channels. If you look at Walking Dead, by the way, which gets around 12 million viewers, or Duck Dynasty, or Law & Order, SVU, reruns of those shows are averaging 2 million viewers. So, not great numbers, but for OWN, I guess it's pretty good.
Kevin says he's too stressed out to watch that show anymore.
I brought in clips of it. I probably would have watched it anyway, but yeah, it's a nightmare. Her life is a nightmare.
And speaking of cable, Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Dua Diddy Combs has reportedly offered the Fuse cable network $200 million to buy that network.
Wait, he already has a network. He's got the Revolt TV.
He said he wants Fuse to help prop up Revolt and the new cable network. Will be an amalgamation of the two.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Not particularly. Revolt TV, Diddy's network, is in around 23 million homes. Fuse is in around 74 million homes. So by combining the two, Sean would get a significant bump in viewership. And that would let Diddy up the fees he gets from various cable companies as well for carrying the network.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So he would make extra cash. So.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember
that's
correctly.
That's right. He also has a wooden hand, Kevin. That's right. Wooden hand. That's what he has. Thanks to everyone who's mentioning the USA Today article. Yeah, it's true. Kevin Smith and I are going to be writing Batman 1966 meets the Green Hornet, a brand new comic book thanks to the people of DC Comics and Dynamite teaming up, bringing those two classic heroes back together again. You know, of course, I have to tell you, but they already met in a famous two-part episode of the 1967 second season of Batman the TV show.
Obviously.
And
of course.
So they're,
don't insult us.
This is a sequel to that famous episode. We're bringing them back together again, and everyone is very excited.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
I'm writing a Batman comic book. Doesn't anyone realize what that means?
Nobody realizes as much as you do.
I win. Right. I win.
But now that you're writing...
Imagine, Kevin, you were playing goalie for the Galaxy or something.
Yeah.
Or if Lisa was directing traffic in the middle of a busy intersection.
That is her dream.
I was actually thinking maybe being in a Broadway
whatever it is.
Let's
you do over
there.
Doing a Broadway play about traffic.
There you go.
If Lisa was doing that.
There you go.
Or if Bean had fresh victims in the back of his van.
Like, I mean, he doesn't.
That's that level of excitement for me to be writing a comic book about the Adam West Batman.
That's awesome. Have you talked to Adam, Ralph?
I have. I wasn't able to talk. I've been working on this comic book for 6 months.
Oh.
But I haven't been able to talk to anybody about it because they wanted to break the news their way.
So they wanted to rewrite it.
Which is their right
now.
Dare you.
But I had a little oversight on the guy who's writing the Batman comic.
But I did talk to Adam last week about it. I was finally able to have a conversation with him, and he's very excited. Kevin Smith and I, Kevin's also helped me on the book. We have an idea. What we'd like to do is, if it's successful enough, and this is the reason you need to download it digitally. The first part of the 12-part series is on May the 21st, and then buy the print version as well on June 4th, because if the book is a big hit, animated Batman movie.
Ooh.
No kidding.
1966 Batman and Robin meet Green Hornet and Kato animated movie, and we get Adam West and Burt Ward to voice the characters. How cool would that be to have them play
like a monkey?
Like a monkey. That's how cool it would be. So we got big plans for this book. So thanks to everyone who gave me the heads up. Yeah, it's in the USA today if you want to check that out.
Woo!
See, some people are very excited. Today's celebrity birthdays. Anton Yelchin is 25 years old. Thora Birch is 32. Benji and Joel Madden of Good Charlotte are 35 years old. Johnny Knoxville's 43. Terrence Howard's 45. Lisa Loeb is 46. Director Peter Berg is 52. Nina Hagen celebrates her 59th birthday. Jimmy Iovine, legendary head of Interscope Records and producer for many years. Worked with Springsteen, legendarily. That's how I first heard the name.
Oh, really?
The day, yeah. 61 years old. And singer Bobby McFerrin. He's 64 today.
Why does that mean anything to anyone?
This does.
Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
I think that's enough.
I think
we've heard enough. I think we've heard enough.
Don't worry, Bean.
I think we got the gist
of
it.
Be happy.
I think we've heard it.
Don't worry, Bean. Be
that's
happy.
A terrible song.
It's a great song. How can you not be happy when you hear that song?
It's an awful song.
It's a guy who's playing every instrument on his chest and
right.
just his voice.
And he gets credit for the novelty of that. It doesn't make the song good.
Here's a little song I wrote.
Right, we know the song.
Don't have to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Come on, how do you not be happy when you hear that song? Well, Bean will find a way. There's a way to not be happy. Bean will find it. I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome to Showbiz Bean.
Hey, Bean.
Yeah?
Taylor Williamson.
Yeah?
Kind of a dick.
What are you talking about? We love Taylor.
He just came in and said, I'm going to lead, everybody.
Really? Yeah, seriously. Stand down, Kevin and Bean. I don't know what's going on here. Hey, Taylor Williamson, famous comedian, who is part of the bill for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014, coming up on Saturday, April 5th at the Shrine Auditorium, joins us in studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Taylor,
hey.
How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for letting me be on your radio show again.
Of course. It's our pleasure. Now, let me get the business out of the way first, because you don't even have to wait until April 5th to see Taylor, because he's going to be at the Irvine Improv for six big shows this week, Thursday through Sunday. All shows are 18+, except for Sunday's show, which is for the kids, right? You're doing something special for 13 and over.
Yeah, you know, I say that the way, what I say, you know what I say is, you're never too young to laugh at the less fortunate.
Okay. Tickets are just $20 and available at improv.com or TaylorWilliamson.com. Now, you said you had some stuff you needed to talk about, Taylor. What's going on in your little world, my friend?
I have so many things to share. First of all, I'm sad that I should have been here a few minutes ago.
Right.
But I was a little bit late, and I missed Foster the People. They're so cool.
They are.
Super nice.
One time I was at Pickup Sticks, one of my favorite bad restaurants.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got a free meal. And then
because they recognize you from America's Got Talent?
No, close, very close.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's nice. And then I sat down, and then the guy asked for my autograph. He thought I was the – he said, are you the guy from Foster the People?
I hope you said yes. Otherwise, you got to pay.
You know, I said no. I apologized, and I felt really awkward, and he gave me this look like I'm a jerk.
Like, yeah,
I did
like
something
it's your
wrong.
Fault.
I'm not sure which one is the guy, whichever one's the most handsome.
I think the lead singer
Mark
would
Foster, yeah.
Probably
he's the
be
main
the one, yeah.
Guy that people would probably recognize.
Is he very sexy?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
not in this context. As relates to other people in the room. Yeah, he is, of course, yeah.
Oh, well, that was my big story.
Okay.
Well,
I like it. You got free food.
Hey, also, by the way, I can't thank you guys enough for having me on April Foolishness. I feel like you're, like, playing a trick on me. Like, it's, like, all, like, the coolest, best comedians and then me.
You're in the lobby. As people are arriving, I don't think we've made that announcement yet.
I'm the valet guy.
Taylor, I wanted to ask you about this because, look, I could understand why being on the bill with, you know, Patton Oswalt, Mark Maron, and people like that who are legends in the industry, I understand why that would be a big deal for a comedian like you. But surely since you've become famous and since you've become a professional, you've probably been on some fancy bills with other comics, right?
Oh, you're so sweet. I mean, I'm better than Eddie Ift, at least.
Now, we do detect there might be a little bit of a feud between you and the Ifster. What's happening there?
Eddie Ift. Do you know who this guy is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's on
Of course we do. He's a friend of ours. We like Eddie very much.
Yeah, I used to think he was, like, funny and, like, a nice guy and stuff. And then, like, 2 years ago, he posted on Twitter, like, hey, I had to drop out of this charity gig in San Diego. Does anyone want to do this? I'm from San Diego. And it was in this place called Carlsbad, and I had a girl out there who wanted to come hang out with me. And
strong.
I'm like, this is perfect. I'm going to invite her. I'll take the – I almost begged for the gig. I was like, I love charity, please, you know.
And, charity from the girl you were thinking.
Her name. And she so they said, yes, you can do the show.
Great.
And then – I know, right?
Yeah.
And then I go down there. I invite the girl. She's on her way. And I get there. I have pictures on my phone, which is great for radio. Mm-hmm. But – it's like a bar, mm-hmm. and like there's no it's like a rock venue in the back of the bar, and there's no seats and there's no people there. It's just the band is playing for literally three people on the side of the room.
There was no one.
No one showed up because everyone's in the bar watching the Chargers game.
Oh, bad timing for that. Okay.
Oh, no.
And then they're like, "All right, you're gonna go on next," and I'm like, "There's literally nobody here." They're like, "Oh, you can just go on. People will walk in." While you're performing.
They wanted you to draw away from the game?
With my comedy for nobody. Like, people just walk in and out while I'm doing that. So,
did the girl show up?
No, I texted her and said, please don't show up.
Otherwise, it would be her there alone and you trying to entertain her.
It would have been horrible. Yeah. Like, hey, check me out, baby.
I do love, though, that you and Eddie, two of the whitest people I know, are now having a West Coast, East Coast rap feud on Twitter. I do love that.
It's an international feud.
Is it international?
Well, if you count him as Australian.
Now, do we need to separate you two? Do you have to have, like, different like dressing rooms far apart and people in between you so that you guys don't accidentally run into each other that night?
You know what? Just give us separate locker rooms. We'll be okay.
You want an entire locker room?
I want a locker room.
It seems like a lot.
Do we get locker rooms? At the Shrine?
I don't think the Shrine has locker rooms.
Well,
As much as maybe green rooms, you know, smaller.
I'm sure you saw my rider this morning.
I need a locker room. I didn't see that. Is that in the rider?
I got here late. I just assumed that you gave me a locker room.
So, Taylor, I'm fascinated by this. Taylor Williamson in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show, playing the Irvine Improv this week. Go to improv.com to buy your tickets. So you're on America's Got Talent, and then you come in second place, hell yeah. And then you hit the road, and you do your comedy show. And you've now been invited back places a second time. So this is like for reals. This is happening now.
You've had me back. This is the fourth time I've been on your show, I think.
Yep. I think so, yeah.
It's honest. I mean, if I can be like serious, it's weird to like 10 years of rejection And then to have like amazing people like you guys, and I just did Loveline, and then they liked me, and then
fantastic.
Like Drew's having me on his podcast with Adam.
Oh, awesome.
And like, thank you. It's like it's so special to have these all you people that I've looked up to and I admire to have people become fans of myself who I was fans.
Will
of.
It take?
It sounds obnoxious, but
will it take 10 years of good talk for just to erase the 10 years of bad talk?
Yeah, I shouldn't even talk about this. Is it better if I pretend like I just started comedy and then people like me, or if it's 10 years?
I think the 10-year run is important. People need to know you earned it.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
But doesn't it make you feel like you guys are wrong?
Maybe they knew something we didn't. Hey, we have to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about Loveline, because that is an eye-opening show to be a guest on, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was very weird. So much fun, but it was odd.
Yeah, I mean, people are asking you for questions about their sores. You know what I mean? It's just weird. It's a weird position to be in as a comedian. You know what I mean? So I want to hear about that and find out what else is going on with Taylor Williamson. He's our guest on The Kevin Bean Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Taylor Comedy. TaylorWilliamson.com is the website. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Our friend Taylor Williamson in studio with us here on The Kevin Bean Show, headlining the Irvine Improv this week, Thursday through Sunday. You can get your tickets at improv.com. Just $20. So, Taylor, we're talking about Loveline, and Dr. Drew is a guy that you were a fan of pretty much your whole life, and then you're hosting a radio show with him last night.
Yeah, it was so cool. Him and Mike were so awesome, and I've listened to the show since I was like 13.
Did you ever call?
No.
Tell me how to do your growth on your unit? Anything like that?
No, but like I kept that to myself.
Okay,
I keep my weird unit gross.
Okay.
So.
Okay,
did Dr. Drew diagnose you with anything? Because he tends to like to do that with every guest.
No, he didn't. He was there. He was very. They were very. They get that it's like weird and it's kind of nerve wracking, because even like doing this is terrifying. But at least it's being silly 100% of the time is okay on the show,
right?
But that show, people are calling in about the most horrible, tragic things,
right?
And then like I'm just sitting back while the doctor talks and Mike talks, who has the
nonsense opinion.
But he also has experience with stuff. Yeah. And then I'm just the guy that's like trying to say something like someone had hairy legs and like their mom died. I'm just like, "Oh, is the hairy leg girl Armenian?" I don't know. I'm just like trying to be funny. And then Drew's like, "Oh,
that worked
out." I'm just like, "Oh, I don't know." But then he liked, I don't know. It's just like it's a weird thing to try to navigate, trying to be silly but respectful.
Right.
Yes.
Well, there's such serious questions, a lot of them, and it's funny because Bean and I have hosted that show too, and we both just turn and look at Drew.
Yeah.
We don't have any idea what the answer is. Drew, go ahead and talk.
And it's also weird that Dr. Drew's a real doctor, if you believe him, yet he still isn't above making, you know, guessing whether someone's been molested or not. I mean, it is weird because he even kind of puts it through a show business prism as well.
Yeah, and the other thing that was weird is, like, listening to the show, like, I remember hearing, like, Good Charlotte on the show, and they talked about having, like, a screwed-up family, and I was like, oh, I have a screwed-up family, I can get out of this, too. Like I can be, like, the next Good Charlotte, which is working out great, by the way. And I'm here, they were here, we're all doing the same thing.
That's right. Hey, what's going on? Since the last time we had you and Taylor, we talked to your girlfriend, Heidi Klum, and she still seems to me, my read was that she's still kind of carrying a torch for the Taylor man.
Listen, you guys were...
I think she's hooked. I do.
Listen, I need to talk to her. I'm really upset. We haven't talked in a few months. I'm kind of upset with her.
Oh, you're upset with her? Why?
Well, so she calls into this program
because
she wants to promote her little TV show she's on, you know?
Right.
And she's like, you guys ask, like, how's Taylor doing? And then this lady, has the gall to be like, oh, Taylor, I tried giving him my number. He wouldn't take it. He's such a player, like this. And she's so full of it.
I don't remember it going that way at all.
You don't remember that?
No, not at all, really.
Wait, what'd she say? Maybe the translation
on
was
the air or off the air.
I just remember that we were trying to get her to roll over and hand you the phone, and she wouldn't. That's what I remember, is that she was keeping your love a secret. It seemed like that was rude.
She kissed me.
She did.
If you type in my name, Heidi Klum, or just my name, one of the first things comes up is the only thing that's ever going to happen to me in my life, which is not that bad, but I kissed her on the mouth.
It's
photo evidence. It was her idea.
Sure.
And then she never talks to me ever again.
She used you.
She used you, Taylor.
She treats me like every other German supermodel. It's like, it's horrible. It's funny, like, trying to get girls now from, because, like, I was on TV, you know? And it's trying to deal with that. Like, I decided I'm only going to date famous girls now.
So now, you're only going to date famous girls. Okay.
Because like Katy Perry, people like that, maybe?
Yeah. I just need to find a famous girl that wants to date me.
Yeah, well.
That's the trick.
It would start there.
Because, like, I'm verified on Twitter, which means I'm better than you, you know?
It does.
And when you're verified, you have, like, a check mark, and that means that when you message someone else with a check mark, that they definitely see your message.
Right.
Like, 100%, you know they're going to see it.
So how many people have you now private messaged?
I messaged one, just the hot girl from The Purge.
Well, you're shooting high.
Well, I was like, no one knows her name. She's the hot girl from The Purge.
That's about right, though. I applaud Taylor for keeping it on the appropriate level right now.
Thank you.
He doesn't go for Heidi Klum.
No.
Immediately, just the girl from The Purge.
How did it go? How's it going with you two?
She's waiting to get back to me. She's playing the game where I'm going to wait like 3 months to write back. You know?
Okay.
She's playing it cool.
She'll come through, though.
She's busy. She's on some show. I don't know.
Taylor Williamson is playing the Irvine Improv. 6 shows this week. Thursday, then 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, 1 show Sunday. I wanted to point out, Taylor, because I know that this is true. This is a dream come true for you to headline the Irvine Improv, right? Like, this is a place where you were trying to get hosting gigs a year ago, and they said no.
Yeah. I hate talking, like, in cliche things. I'm so bad at the English language. What am I trying to say? It's like my dreams are coming true. Like, my career went from I'm about to work at Starbucks to selling out comedy clubs and getting to do cool radio shows and the April Foolishness show.
You would have been hilarious at Starbucks, though. Don't you guys think he would have been like one of the funniest Starbucks employees ever?
Absolutely.
Last year when America's Got Talent was on and we had you in, I remember us having this conversation. And at one point, you were the only comedian that we had for April Foolishness. And I remember a little panic. Like, I love this guy. I'm not sure he's enough. We got to fill out the bill a little bit.
Be honest with me. Did everyone sign on because they saw that I was on the show?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's what happened.
Exactly. Wow.
Jim Jeffries, wait, be honest with you?
Jim Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Ift, Taylor Williamson, and our friend DJ Mike Realm will be doing the music in-house. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. All proceeds benefit the Fisher House in Cedars-Sinai NIQ. We do have a pair of tickets to give away right now. Taylor Williamson, pick any number between 1 and 100, please.
43.
Caller 43 at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to win your tickets for April Foolishness for April the 5th. So, Taylor, have fun at the Improv this week. We'll see you soon, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. By the way, Eddie Ift just canceled April Foolishness.
I don't think that's true.
He just called me. Trust me.
Just now?
He said that if you contact him, he'll pretend like he doesn't know what you're talking about.
Well, we'll have to get a hold of him. Oh, no Ralph, no P. I guess no report. How about that? That's good news.
Looks
for
like we missed it. We tried. We had a slot. We had it scheduled. Nothing we can do. Gotta move on.
Here I am.
Hey, Ralph.
Hi, buddy.
How are you?
The good news is The Bachelor is finished for another season.
It's over, right? Last night's 10-hour marathon was the end.
3 hours of sweet, sweet Bachelor, and then they announced Andy, the new Bachelorette, which is right around the corner. So we got the Bachelorette report coming up.
We
soon.
Don't have
so
that.
We've got that
so
going
much
for us.
All right. Nine. P's on the phone. Hit it, Steve.
Oh, yes. Welcome to Juan Pablo Eri. Here's Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis. This is the Bachelor Report.
And so it's not Juan February, or however he said that. That's clearly outdated.
It's definitely not that. Hey, so Petro, so last night you're talking the sport ball over there on Fox Sports 1, and then you go home and hit your DVR and have 3 hours of The Bachelor to go through in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's a rough ticket here. I mean, no doubt. But let's just talk about it here, Ralph, because there are deeper things at hand than just Kevin and Beans whining about The Bachelor and having to hear about it every week.
Indeed, sir, yes. It was the most
honest,
refreshing Bachelor ever. Wait,
you think so?
I think so.
Is that how you feel about it?
That's how I thought about it.
I kind of do, too. In my, because it was interesting because it was different. But the funny thing is, if you want to blame anybody for Juan Pablo, who's an idiot, it's not an English second language or anything like that.
No.
The guy's just a selfish idiot.
Right.
And if you want to blame him for being a selfish idiot, you can't. I mean, you have to blame ABC for getting duped. And then the funny thing was they had to punish Juan Pablo, just like the women did, because they fell for it. The guy is an idiot.
Now, wait, what do you mean, P, when you say ABC got duped? I don't understand. I don't watch the show. Why, how do they get duped?
They chose Juan Pablo to be the Bachelor when he clearly didn't have the depth to deal with the season as it progressed.
But, P, hold on. You have to blame America before you blame ABC. And here's why. Because this is the first time they've ever taken a previous contestant from the show that did not get deep into the show so we could learn much about them. He was only on the first couple of weeks, and every woman in America said, oh, my God, that accent, and he's so dreamy, and he's so buff, and he's so charming. We love him. That the popular outcry for Juan Pablo almost forced ABC's hand to make him the next Bachelor.
Well, the same thing happened to ABC, and the same thing happened to all of us. We were duped by the accent, and ultimately, the guy really didn't have the chops to deal with what the show needed for him to do to have a beginning and a middle and an end. I mean, the guy's just stuck in the beginning.
Right. What happened last night?
Well, last night we were down to the final two women, and traditionally on The Bachelor what happens is he's judging between these two women, they meet his family, and then at the final moment he decides which of these women he wants to ask to marry him to spend the rest of his life with.
Okay.
So we got down to the final two women. And Juan Pablo really wasn't that into either of them.
Oh, God.
Now, were they into him? Oh, very much so. Claire especially was head over heels in love with Juan Pablo.
And she had sex with him in the ocean, so
yes,
she was already deeply invested.
And apparently, while they were on their final date, they were in a helicopter with no cameras and no microphones around. He said to her, she would not repeat what he said to her, but she said that he said to her in the helicopter something very repulsive and overtly sexual that she was shocked that he would say to her.
You know what I think he said?
Tell me.
I think he said something about her stank ass or something, right?
I think he said, I want to F your brains out again.
I think in Vietnam?
Yeah, because she said he used very coarse language about something sexual that they had done privately. And I think when the cameras were around, he said, look, I don't know you all that well, but I had a great time effing the F out of you. And I would love to effing again.
Ooh, bad move.
And that turned her off.
And then she confronted him about it and said, let's sit down and talk about what happened in the helicopter. He's like, it's okay. And she's like, okay, it's okay.
Wait, she was fine with it?
She was fine with it. She shows up to get the ring. And then he said, I'm not going to give you the ring. It's not okay. And I have to be the clip of her going off on Juan Pablo in the jungle when he says it's time for you to go home.
I mean, I appreciate you being here and trusting me. I got to follow what I think is best for me. And I'll have to say goodbye to you.
This entire time, I've stuck around because I believed in you.
Mm-hmm.
And the other night, on our last date,
mm-hmm,
when you came over and we spent our last hour together,
mm-hmm,
I needed that reassurance. And I gave you that opportunity right then, mm-hmm, because I've been scared of it.
I know.
And for you to sit there and tell me that you can see yourself in Sacramento, that you can see yourself. We got together.
We have
our babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do it because I believed in us. I've saved this moment for the man of my dream. And I thought that was you.
Me too.
And I thought I knew what kind of man you were. And Charlene,
mm-hmm,
didn't have the feelings for you. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Andy,
mm-hmm,
did the same thing. You had every opportunity, like those other girls did,
mm-hmm,
to tell me exactly how you felt.
Do you know how I feel? Do you know when I made my decision?
Does it matter to me?
Okay.
I lost respect for you.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I knew what kind of man you were.
Okay.
What you just made me go through,
mm-hmm,
I would never want my children having a father like you.
Okay.
Okay. It's okay.
Okay. Can he not talk?
You know, here's where she should have figured it out, Ralph. When he told her he could see himself in Sacramento, she had to know he was lying.
Right.
Who could see themselves in Sacramento?
No one can see that. So then he goes to the second one, Nikki. He goes to Nikki. Look, I like you a lot, but I'm not going to marry you, but let's just go out. And she's like, okay, great.
You guys were the ones that told us the entire time that they're going to get married.
How about when he winked at her, though? He's supposed to propose, and he goes, you know, I like you. I like you a lot. And then he just winked at her. And it's like, hey, you know what, Juan Pablo? If I was a producer, I'd just be like, hey, cut, cut. Hey, I'd just walk out there. Hey, Juan Pablo, can I have you for a second? We're going to need a little bit more commitment than I like you a lot. Something. And then a look at the camera and a wink. This isn't freaking Get Smart.
Now, Pete, let me ask you this. As a lifelong Bachelor fan, are you disappointed to see a season not end with an engagement?
Well, first of all, this is not the first time that's happened.
Right.
You know, every once in a while you get a douchebag guy who just freaks out at the end. And you know what? Everybody freaks out at the end. Nobody wants to go home with any of these people. It's horrible.
Right.
You know, the way they have to do it, Ralph, is get Christian people like Sean,
yeah,
who are so, like, just sexually just ready to rock that they'll get married on TV and you know, have some kind of sexual nuclear war for ABC. But, I mean, this Ultimate Bachelor was very interesting because the guy was an idiot and ABC fell for it, and then they were bitter that they fell for it, so they had to humiliate him in front of America, and you let your guy Chris Harrison dupe you guys last week into thinking it was going to be all good, and oh, Chris, and oh, we don't need Petrosan today. And,
I was wondering when that would come up.
Yeah, why does Ralph take me to Bob's Big Boy and throw a few French fries at me every week, and then when the prom comes, he takes freaking Harrison?
This is prom night, and here you are. We're talking about the finale.
Yeah, it's prom night. I'm in my boxers pacing around my room. Terrible.
So they bring him out after the final rose. It's the live show. They bring him out
on
stage.
You're still talking about last night's episode?
Yes, the second episode.
3 hours.
3 hours. The last hour is him coming out on stage in front of a live audience and them asking about what happened.
Okay.
And he was with Nikki. They're still dating. So Chris Harrison was desperate for an ending for this story. So
right.
He's like, so Juan Pablo, are you in love with Nikki? He's like, no, she's okay. We're happy. We're happy. But you love her, right? No, I didn't say it. I never said that. But we're happy. We're dating. It's okay. It's private. What's happening?
It is private.
It's private.
We are not going to talk. And then people are like, well, how can you go on The Bachelor and now say it's private? What I think, my theory is that Juan Pablo got put in too much media coverage in front of too many reporters. He said that stupid thing about gay people.
Yeah.
You know, he said a bunch of stupid things at this point, and he's bitter at the producers of The Bachelor, and he stopped playing along.
Yeah, he's chapped
out. They wanted to punish him in front of America on a live show. And ultimately, I thought it was pretty. I mean, not that I was rooting for Juan Pablo, because that's like rooting for a three-legged dog. But the producers ended up looking like bad people, I thought, at the end.
Well, he said, look, we don't know each other well enough to get married or propose, so we're going to date for a while and see how the relationship goes. And they hated that answer. But in reality, you say to yourself, well, of course, that makes perfect sense. He's known this woman for 3 months. He's got to know her better if he wants to propose to her.
That's what people do in real life.
Yeah.
I really thought that crowd of angry vulture women was going to just dismember him last night on live TV. I thought they were going to rush and dismember him. And Juan Pablo was ready to fight Harrison. And then Juan Pablo started, like, saying names of different people, like, what about these producers, Chet and Blake? They know me. They know what I'm about. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? Something happened. You know, something happened behind the scenes on The Bachelor that made this a terrible season. And I say boo to Andy. She sucks. All she's going to do is wear people out and talk our ears off.
Wait, who's Andy?
6 months. The new Bachelorette.
New Bachelorette.
Oh,
she
good.
Was the lawyer who quit on Juan Pablo. She walked, remember? Because it was a nightmare. The last fantasy date was a nightmare.
Right, whatever. But Petros, you said it's going to be a bad season, so we don't have to do the Bachelorette report.
Every season is a bad season, and we always do the report.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yes. That was the Bachelor report.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
It was a gift, a surprise on the internet this morning to see Zach Galifianakis interviewing President Barack Obama for his Between Two Ferns show. We didn't know anything about it, didn't know it was coming, just dropped this morning. We got highlights of the audio for that coming up right after the top of the hour. You absolutely do not want to miss it. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on K-Rock.
Speaking of internet, around 11 o'clock this morning, you may want to head over to DCComics.com. They're going to have a big story featuring me and Kevin Smith on their TV show, DC All Access.
Big interview with Kevin and myself talking about our new project, the 1966 Batman comic book that we're putting together featuring Batman and Robin meeting the Green Hornet and Kato. It is going to be a digital comic that you'll be able to download on the 21st of May, and then the print version will be in comic book stores everywhere June the 4th. It's going to be 6 issues of a comic book in print as well, and we're very excited about this. And as you can imagine, for me to write a 1966 Batman comic book is, well, as my good friend Ben just sent me an email this morning, he said, you should just retire now. you're done.
This is it.
You're finished. But take whatever money you have and just try to live on that for the rest of your life, because you really should just stop. Just stop going forward, because it doesn't get any better.
That is pretty strong.
It is. It's the culmination of an entire life's worth of passion now in one project, and I won't care ever again about anything as much as I care about this.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
Except for including my daughter's wedding. So there really is nowhere to go but down for me. So
your career peaked in 2014.
Yes, that's what Kevin will be saying to me when I'm okay. being interviewed at some point. But so thanks to the people at DC Comics. You can go to dccomics.com around 11 o'clock. Big online interview with me and Kevin Smith. And we're in USA today. And it's been very fun to deal with that all morning long. And it's been fun. Well, let's talk about a little showbiz news. Speaking of Batman, you know this kid, Bat-Kid? Kid was granted from the Make-A-Wish Foundation to fight crime as Batman in San Francisco. And what turned into a little project became a city-wide phenomenon.
Hundreds, thousands of people.
Literally tens of thousands of people lined the streets as he drove up and down in the Batmobile and fought the Riddler. And the police chief was talking to him as if he was Commissioner Gordon and they were sending him to fight crime. And it was just this tremendous event they did for little Miles Scott, who was recovering or dealing with cancer. And he was supposed to be on the Academy Awards.
Right.
They were going to tribute him because the theme of the Academy Awards was all heroes.
Heroes, right.
Famous heroes. So he was supposed to come out with Andrew Garfield, the current Spider-Man, and they were going to do a little segment together. But that segment got bumped.
And I remember you saying you didn't have any idea why.
Right. Well, we still don't know why, but we know now that he had a better, even a better event than he could have at the Academy Awards. He spent the next day at Disneyland with Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield was his friend at the day at Disneyland. He and Spider-Man hung out all day at Disneyland.
All right.
So it was a happy story for Miles. Glad to see them.
I think Miles might be getting too much.
How dare you,
I gotta
sir?
To be honest.
Adult Swim has just announced their new TV show. I'm looking forward to it. Black Jesus.
Is that right?
Black Jesus. Adult Swim now getting into the live-action comedy world. This will be a live-action sitcom. And you might gather from the title that Black Jesus is about Jesus, who does, in fact, return for the second coming and turns up in Compton as a black man. And tries to spread love and kindness throughout the neighborhood with the help of his small but loyal group of downtrodden followers. He's got his apostles. And together they try to spread the good word in Compton as Black Jesus.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
He does not have a wooden hand at all, Kevin. No, you're mistaking him with Carl Weathers from Happy Gilmore.
I hope Kanye's doing the voice for this character.
This isn't an animated project. This is a live-action sitcom.
I hope Kanye's playing Black Jesus.
Gerald Johnson from Grand Theft Auto V will be starring as Black Jesus. And it's going to be fun.
All right.
Looking forward to Black Jesus. They're doing some reality, live-action shows over there that seem to be very funny.
When I woke up this morning, Black Jesus did not exist, and now it does.
See?
It's wonderful.
We live in a good world. I want to give you a heads up, too, by the way. Jim Jefferies. He's going to be playing Club Nokia on March the 29th. Tickets are available now at AXS.com. Jim, of course, good friend of the show. So funny on Legit, which is now currently in its second season. One of the funniest stand-ups you will see. So do yourself a favor. Get your tickets for the Club Nokia show on March the 29th.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
He does have a wooden hand. You're absolutely right. And bring him some bananas. He loves bananas for some reason. He's obsessed with bananas.
It's bizarre.
Just can't get enough. Today's celebrity birthdays, Anton Yelchin. You know him as Chekhov in the rebooted Star Trek franchise with J.J. Abrams, 25 years old. Actress Thora Birch. It's only Thora I know.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of Thoras either.
The one who throws the hammer around, hangs out with the Avengers, there's
That's
one.
Thor.
And then, what?
Yeah.
She's 32 years old. Benji and Joel Madden of Good Charlotte are 35. Johnny Knoxville, he's 43. Terrence Howard, very talented actor, is 45 years old. Another Philly boy, Terrence. Lisa Loeb's 46 years old. Director Peter Berg, the man who gave us Friday Night Lights and Battleship. But look, who's perfect? He's 52. Nina Hagen, she is 59. Jimmy Iovine, head of Interscope Records, legendary record producer and mogul, 61. And singer Bobby McFerrin turns 64 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 940.
So what are you going to do now that you've won the internet, Ralph? How are you going to handle that today?
Well, I like to think I am a magnanimous ruler. Mm-hmm. I will let all of my subjects partake in my bounty, which is the internet.
That's nice. Okay.
So everyone, please get yourself a big handful of internet today. Go in there and just wallow around, take a nice internet bath, and just enjoy whatever you want to get.
The next winner might not be so magnanimous.
Who knows? Whoever wins tonight, I don't know how they're going to treat you, but you'll remember the reign of King Ralph as the golden days, I think.
Now, for folks who are wondering why Ralph is in charge of the internet, he was a guest on At Midnight, the Chris Hardwick show on Comedy Central last night, and that's the prize at the end of the game is somebody wins the internet, and
yes,
Ralph was that guy last
night. I won the internet, and Kevin Smith still won't talk to me.
Oh, well, he'll talk to you tomorrow when you don't own
him. I don't own anymore. Yeah. I think he's a little jealous.
Right. Yeah.
Sure. Hey, the guy who won the internet now has the showbiz beat for us here as we close out a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Speaking of Kevin Smith, big news today that broke. Thanks to everyone who gave me a heads up that they saw it in the USA Today online and also the print edition. Kevin and I are working on Batman 66, a new comic book for DC Comics.
Thank you.
It's already established. They've got a 66 Batman comic book that's currently running, but they've asked me to write the Batman Meets the Green Hornet special crossover comic book with Dynamite Comics, and Kevin is helping out, and also Ty Templeton, the brilliant artist, is doing all the artwork, and Alex Ross is doing our covers, and it is just a remarkable project that we're finally able to talk about now that launches as a 12-part digital biweekly series beginning May the 22nd, and then will debut in comic shops as a print comic for 6 issues on June the 4th, and I could not be more excited and pleased and just out of my head about this project. It's been a labor of love.
You were born for this.
This is something I've literally been working on for 40 years. I've been working on this.
Those of you that don't listen very often, Ralph has been obsessed with the 1966 Batman show on TV.
This is 40 years of foreplay.
And now you get to write it.
Yes. I get to say in my head, how would Adam West say this thing? And then I get to say those words and they come out of his mouth. Not his mouth, but Batman's mouth.
That's awesome.
It is pretty fun.
Gotham City has narrowly averted a catastrophe of major proportions.
I got to write that one down. I've used that one. Yeah.
That one's already been used. Been used.
Yeah. So thanks for everyone who's taken notice this morning. Pretty cool.
Will you be doing some in-store signings down at the Apple or anything?
Hell, I'm gonna show up where they don't even want me to. I'm going to go to every comic book shop, and I'm going to just lean up against the rack where that comic book is there.
Wrote it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're looking at that one? Yeah, that's a good one. I would buy that if I were you. Who wrote that? Oh, that's right. It was me. I have a Sharpie. Hey, come back. I have a Sharpie. Yeah, I'm going to be signing things.
That's pretty cool.
No business signing.
Kevin's going to write a book one day, I bet.
It's more of a pamphlet.
Yeah. I like loud.
Chapter 1. Chapter 2.
I think he had a wooden hand. That's just really short chapters. A lot of pictures in Kevin's book. Speaking of loud movies, this looks loud. Sabotage. The new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Sabotage, with Sam Worthington, Terrence Howard, who celebrates his birthday today. New Schwarzenegger on the screen in theaters everywhere. Friday, March the 28th. Arnold. Sometimes I get the two confused. Arnold plays a member of an elite DEA task force, and he and his other members of that task force find themselves being taken down one by one after they rob a drug cartel safe house. Can't take from the cartel.
Right.
There's a price to be paid.
That's right.
We learned that at the Morongo Casino. I don't know if we can tell that story or not, but this looks awesome. Sabotage is the name of the movie. It's in theaters everywhere on March the 28th, but you, my friends, will get to see it
at our very special advanced K-Rock screening of Sabotage on Wednesday, March the 19th, down at L.A. Live. Great theater down there at L.A. Live.
Sabotage.
Sabotage.
Spock, sabotage the system.
Bill, you said sabotage. It's a
Spock, sabotage the system.
Bill.
Spock, restore the atmosphere.
Sabotage. Bill.
Spock, sabotage the system.
No, sabotage.
I wish I knew what to do.
Bill, sabotage.
Observations, Mr. Spock.
Bill, can we take that again?
Headline 193 again.
It's
sabotage.
Sabotage, please.
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Well, we're going to agree to disagree on this one.
Sounds like it. It's a strange thing to take a stance on.
You guys make fun of me with my strongly worded letters. he just decides how it's pronounced.
Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers who get through will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Sabotage. I found out after that William Shatner thing with the sabotage is a Canadian thing.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
they say sabotage.
They say sabotage.
Well, that's the wrong way.
Up there, north of the border.
You need to learn.
And Bill is a Canadian, so I guess that's where he got that from.
There are certainly variations between countries that speak English languages. I mean, you know, pedophile, pedophile, same thing.
Right. Daylight savings time. Daylight savings
nope.
time.
Nope. Not the same.
They're both exactly equally the acceptable.
Not the same. What is right? Say it. And what is wrong?
Want. Either way, it's fine. They say it's fine.
Are you serious?
Jay Leno. Reportedly having a rough time after leaving the Tonight Show. Bit of a basket case, a little bit of a breakdown.
I imagine.
That's all he did.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine his entire life is...
On the weekends, yeah.
They say he's having a really difficult time adjusting to life now that the Tonight Show is over.
Which
is bad news for Jimmy Fallon.
Mounting a comeback?
Yes, perhaps. They say he's getting through it, however, with one of his best friends who's really helping him through it, Arsenio Hall.
Oh.
Arsenio Hall's helping him get through it by saying,
nah, I got a show, you don't? How's he doing that?
But Jay's longtime wife, Mavis, also says she's willing to do whatever it takes to lift his spirits. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Ralph, you're the king of Hollywood. Things couldn't be going any better for you.
That's true.
If you had the opportunity to put Jay Leno somewhere else on television, what would be an appropriate next step that would make sense for a guy like that?
I'd put him on the Velocity Channel and give him his own car talk show.
Give him something to do, keep him busy.
He loves cars. Passion. He loves that's his passion. He doesn't have to do anything anymore. He's got more money than he'll ever be able to spend.
Right.
Give him a show where he talks cars and talks about classic roadsters and things like that, and then you can just follow his passion.
That's a good idea. Good fit.
You ever watch any of those shows over there on Velocity?
Nope. Velocity, is that the old Speed Channel?
It's the old Speed Channel. It's dedicated just to cars. And if even if you're just sort of a passing car fan like myself, I'm not a hardcore car guy, but I like some of the stuff.
Well, you drive the Bananamobile. You
I've
love that.
Got a classic Mustang that is orange, if that's what you mean. They've got these shows about guys who hunt down these classic cars from the 60s and 70s, especially muscle cars and things like that. It's fascinating not only where they find them, how they fix them up and restore them, and then the kind of money these guys get for them at auction.
I'm bored! Thank you, I am.
If it was a Broadway show about cars, you'd be listening.
Of course, but it's not.
Kris Jenner. She's in the news, letting everybody know what a good Christian she is.
Oh, good.
She took a very... high-profile trip to a theater in Calabasas to see Son of God, the Jesus movie.
Why do we have to know about her going to the movies?
Because she wants you to know that she's going to see Son of God because she's a good Christian woman.
Okay.
Fortunately, the paparazzi she invited along to watch her go into the movie theaters also noticed that she parked her Bentley in a 10-minute-only parking spot for over 2 hours while she was watching the movie.
Wow.
Because she just does what she wants to do. How did someone not call to get that Bentley towed?
No kidding.
That's the first thing I would have done. At minute 11, I would have had a flatbed there to take it to whatever dump they put Bentleys. You know, the Bentley dump.
Sure.
Sure. And Lindsay Lohan. Got that new show on OWN Network, the Oprah Winfrey Network. Debuted on Sunday night to only 700,000 viewers. That sounds bad. Until you look at the show that was previously in that time slot, Oprah's Masterclass.
That sounds bad.
That does sound bad. And Lindsay's ratings were 50% higher than that show. So I guess
Oprah has a show about her Master Cleanse?
No, Masterclass.
Oh, sorry.
Apparently, the network's pretty happy considering the ratings went up over 57% for that time slot. It's still getting its ass kicked by other cable channels. But I guess they're reasonably happy.
I'll bet they were expecting more.
I bet they were. Maybe they should have done this story about Lindsay. Apparently her feet smell really bad. Mm. Why wasn't that featured in the premiere episode?
Not sure people want to know that.
National Enquirer is reporting that she suffers from a severe case of athlete's foot that she's been battling for years. And they say the odor from her feet is horrible.
There's medicine that heals that.
Isn't there sprays?
Yes, pretty quickly. What years?
That's a severe
How's
case.
That possible?
That's a severe case.
Does she never shower?
I don't know her regimen. I don't know how she handles her personal
hygiene. How often does she shower?
I'm not sure. But apparently she was supposed to attend a Hollywood party that was held at a traditional Japanese restaurant where she had to remove her shoes, and she just excused herself from the party because she didn't dare take her shoes off.
At least she knows it.
For fear of
That's good.
People committing hari-kari with swords there in the lobby. You wouldn't want that. People falling on their swords. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Anton Yelchin is 25 years old today. Probably best known for playing Chekhov in the rebooted Star Trek franchise with J.J. Abrams. He's 25. Thora Birch is 32. Benji and Joel Madden, the Madden boys from Good Charlotte, are 35 years old. Johnny Knoxville's 43. Terrence Howard, who's I just mentioned in that new Sabotage movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's 45 years old. Lisa Loeb is 46. Wasn't there a reality show called Lisa Loeb Looking for Love or something?
Yes, like she was trying. There certainly was.
It was like The Bachelorette with Lisa Loeb.
I kind of used to have a crush on her.
I can imagine. She's mousy with glasses. She's just your type.
She's my type. And then Kevin and I, when we did Kevin and Bean Day at Dodger Stadium a couple of years ago, remember we threw out the first pitch? Lisa Loeb was there singing the national anthem. So I got a chance to meet her, say hi to her. She was lovely.
She always had that sort of cute girl under the glasses kind of vibe about her.
If she were to try and sex it up.
Yeah, but she like hit it. So it was almost more intriguing. You would have to look a little bit to find the hot girl inside her.
Yeah. Good deal.
Yeah. Peter Berg, 52 years old. Nina Hagen, singer, is 59. Jimmy Iovine, legendary producer and head, of course, of Interscope Records, 61. And singer Bobby McFerrin is 64 years old today.
Don't worry.
What should we do, Bobby?
Be happy.
We should be happy. That's
don't
right.
Don't worry. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy.
Once a year is too much for this song.
Don't worry. Be happy.
I think we should redo this song. Everyone here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we should all do an a cappella version of Don't Worry.
I would just like to hear Bean do a version of it by himself.
That's enough.
Come on, don't worry, Bean. Be happy.
Hey, we're good for another year.
Bean is not down with happy.
He sure isn't. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Harley from Epic Mealtime on the program. We have Adam Carolla on the show. We have Johnny Hendricks.
I love him. Purple Haze
UFC.
Is in my mind. Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Jimmy. That's Jimmy. This is Johnny. He's a fighter in the UFC.
Oh,
UFC 171. Dan Bakendahl, I believe is how you say his name. He plays Steve on Legit, one of our favorite shows. And one of our comedians for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014, Doug Benson, will be here. And we'll give away some more tickets for that tomorrow morning on an all-new show.